Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, two of my favorite guys, Vinny Tortorich, are in studio. We get deep into what you can eat, what you can't eat, and with a little sidebar of Dawson, and also Joel Stein comes in, a very funny author as well. So that's all coming. First, Simply Safe. 83% of burglars look for an alarm. Of course they do. I would assume it'd be even higher than that. Only one in five homes have security. Because most companies don't make it easy. It's expensive, drilling, wires, pulling, hassle, mess. Simply Safe protects your whole home with 24/7 monitoring at a fraction of the cost, just $15 a month for peace of mind. And oftentimes police assume there's a false alarm, but not with Simply Safe because they have video verification technology visually confirms break-ins, and the break-in is happening, and so the police know to roll on it. Just for my listeners, get a huge deal going right now. Go to Simply Safe, two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam. Get a free HD security camera when you order. It's $100 value, simplysafe.com/Adam. Right, Dawson?
Make sure you take advantage of Simply Safe's video verification technology. You'll have eyes on home 24/7 and video evidence if someone tries to get in. Get your free HD security camera now at simplysafe.com/Adam today. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
Support for the Adam Carolla podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Joel Stein. With Gina Grad on news and an Eat Your Feelings recipe, Bald Brian on sound effects, Vinny Tortorich stops by, and Dave Damashek is here for good sports. And now, experiences driving with Adam Carolla may vary. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandy, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. I love when you share the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Hey, old friend.
Oh, Vinny's going to share some very important news with us today. I also put together a pretty definitive keto scale for those who like things that we eat every day. And there's always questions. I was at Panera with Sonny over the weekend, and I broke down and got broccoli cheddar soup because it's got the word broccoli and cheddar in it. But
well, you know what happened to Dawson when he found something with broccoli on it.
I know.
Right? I mean, come on.
Mainlined in the veins.
But there's things in here like jerky and cheesecake. The difference between a pistachio nut and a pickle or an almond. I mean, it's pretty insane.
The salami placement has me flummoxed. I want to know why it's so high.
Yes. Well, right?
Told it's not on salami.
Well, part of the problem with the list, the power rankings, is much like Kraftwerk getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's been a couple mistakes made because Vinny was also, he was drilling down on nitrates and preservatives and things like that. And
seed oils.
I was trying to keep it to a pure keto example.
Okay. I almost had to break you and Chris up a few minutes ago. It got close.
Yeah, well, I saw salami and I saw jerky too high on the list, and I was basically saying a banana muffin.
I saw cotton and I saw black.
Would score higher.
White mansions and little shacks. Wow. Southern man, deep. What are you going to give it back?
Wow.
What is that from?
Yeah, song by Crazy Horse.
Neil Young?
Neil Young, yeah.
Rathuk Salami Pianyo.
The other thing I'm most... Now, let's get it straight. I do not look down upon Dawson. I am jealous of Dawson.
Oh, yeah.
I'm jealous of Dawson.
Well, I wouldn't give to just eat whatever I want.
Not only that, there's a what are you eating right now, Dawson?
Deep fried taco?
Jack in the Box tacos.
Yeah, deep fried okay. taco.
There is a emotional and a physical and a spiritual component to Dawson's well-rounded game, which is I'm always kind of like my greatest nightmare is to stop on a side street, be looking at an address and have someone come up behind me and toot the horn.
Right.
Now, this happened to me yesterday, and I pulled up behind someone who just stopped in the middle of a side street, and they were looking at something, and I tooted the horn, and their thing was like, I'm not done looking at this thing.
It's your problem.
Which I love, except for I couldn't do that. I would freak out. Like, every once in a while, there's that thing where your neighbor waves you over, and you roll the window down. They're, like, talking, and then someone pulls up behind you. Then you go, like, we got to move it. Move it over.
Let's take it
move
it over. Road.
I like those people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got 15 items, and it says 10 items or less, but I'm me.
Yeah,
And I'm jealous. And I'm always jealous of Dawson. And Vinny's sitting there with me and Max Pata in a heated battle over keto points. And he sits right next to Vinny. And he's got a bag. And he pulls out of the bag a Jumbo Jack. Yeah. Pulls a Jumbo Jack out proceeds to devour it, sitting next to sitting
while you're having a discussion about the best foods.
There's no hiding it in a corner all ashamed.
This is like...
That's great.
Christopher Reeve's wife died of lung cancer.
Right.
This would be like if I just pulled up next to her in the hospital on a horse and lit a cigarette.
Oh, my.
And just went, how's it hanging?
Whoa, easy there, big fella.
Yeah, wasn't so good.
I rode my horse into the hospital. Oh, yeah, your husband fell off the horse. That's right.
There's a horse in the hospital.
Anyway, my horse is named Carrot because he loves carrots. You want to smoke? Oh, you're in an iron lung. Oh, okay.
Can I light that for you?
Yeah. Oh, the Superman cape. Well, it makes me feel good.
Confident.
I'm getting around Halloween, so couldn't hurt.
I'm so glad you noticed that because I was sitting there and I kept looking at him. He didn't even look up at me. He just kept chomping down on
the I love it.
He's the honey badger.
It.
He don't care.
Full of them.
Now, obviously, the Jumbo Jack, you can't judge. My feeling is most people eat in the back, on the sofa back there.
The sofa shame.
I personally probably just eat it in the car, or put some tin foil up on the window, eat it in the car.
Break the window to make it look like
abandoned. I was crying, but I wouldn't sit right next to Tortorich. But
and lock eyes.
Get me wrong. That's what I love about you, Dawson. What did you order from Jack in the Box today?
Jumbo Jack with cheese, no ketchup. They messed up the Jumbo Jack like 10 years ago. They started putting ketchup on it.
Oh, no.
So you got to say no ketchup. And four tacos.
Oh, my God.
Four McDonald's.
Four Jack in the Box tacos.
Where's the taco land on your power rankings? Where would you have that?
Well, we put the tacos somewhere around 6 or 7.
No, we put them at 3.
That's a steak taco, but that's not a. This is not what we're dealing
you're
with not, in yeah, terms yeah, of yeah, Jack
you're
in the Box.
You're not lowering it into a deep fryer. Like
no,
those right.
no, this is a deep fried.
I think they.
You don't know
I
what it. Have you ever smoked pot, Vinny?
No.
Oh, obviously.
Everything's better deep fried.
Everyone knows. Look,
what's he eating now?
He's another eating taco. A deep fried taco.
Taco number it's got, 3.
Vinny's going to the window.
It's got a deep fried corn tortilla.
I knew it.
It's got some meat mush.
Vinny, you don't have any stoner friends that have been up past midnight on a Friday,
they
right?
They don't I do mean, fourth
you
meal?
Have no, to know, no, they, you don't. Have to know what a Jack in the Box taco is. It's not a taco. It's its own thing. It's its own. You can figure it out. Max Pat will
that
figure it out.
That didn't look like a taco.
That's why it's a Jack in the Box taco.
It looks like a taco.
Vinny went up to the window and observed Dawson like he was an ape in a zoo.
Yeah. Feeding time.
Dawson threw some shit at him. Want to scare him off.
But, Adam, it gets worse because...
Max Bata, find out what is in that. Sorry, go ahead.
I hired your friend Ozzy to come over to the house and do some work.
Sure. I saw the video, yeah.
Yeah, on day one, I said, Ozzy, would you like some coffee? And he goes, yeah, man.
Yeah.
So I went and made coffee and said, Ozzy, would you like some cream in your coffee? And he said, no. And I went, okay, here's black. And he goes, chuga.
Sucre.
Sucre.
And I said,
not here, buddy.
Chuga. Serena, I need Spanish here. So he wanted sugar. And I said, Ozzy, I'm sorry, man. I don't have sugar. Ozzy walked into my kitchen and showed me where my sugar was.
Wow.
He had only been around my house for about 15 minutes,
out.
Like a beagle. This guy found sugar in my house. And wow. I said, Serena, what? She goes, yeah, once a year for Christmas. I said, so this sugar's been sitting around for a year? Ozzy, he's emptied that whole sugar thing now.
Vinny's got to sage the house and have it blessed.
Get a shame in over.
He doesn't even drink coffee. He drinks sugar with a little coffee mixed in.
You've got to see James. You got to see James Baby Doll Dixon and what he does to coffee. I mean, my agent does. We have a picture of it. He does. The over under's 13 packets per cup.
That's impossible to fit into a cup.
It seems insane. All right. I'm going to give you some of the power rankings here. First, of course, purevitaminclub.com, purecoffeeclub.com. Everyone, great coffee, great supplements, all perfect. You can look at the picture last time I went out with my agent for breakfast.
That's for real?
That's how many. I feel like there's way too much in my life where people go, she doesn't really do that, does she? Or he doesn't really. That's right. I got way. It's bad. If the answer is no, of course, it's a joke. Oh, then okay. It's a better life. But I have way too much people going, why would they do that? Or how come they wouldn't? Like, I have people go, but you wanted the carpet cleaner to clean his office, right? How come he? And I'm like, yes, I know. It all sounds fantastical to you, right? It's bad when
there's
your life
nine.
Is
there, I count. I can see nine.
When your life is confusing to others, it's a bad sign.
And isn't this just what he had on the side? Didn't he order like a giant stack of pancakes and syrup?
His whole thing is
he
like
swallowed four packets.
White toast. He eats like a guy from the 50s.
He's like a Blues Brother.
Yeah, that's right. He ordered a whole chicken and a loaf of white bread. All right, so we'll figure out what's in that taco of Vinny's website, vinnytortorich.com.
Oh, no.
I find myself.
Oh,
that's
no.
Too many ingredients. Oh, there should be like four ingredients.
Vinny thinks it's a taco. I'll let Vinny absorb.
Is this the one he's eating now?
Yeah, he did.
All right,
yeah,
so
this is just the filling.
No, he only had four of them, Vinny. It's not like
okay,
he's.
Okay, well, in that case.
Yeah, and a jumbo jack. Okay, so number one, 10 being the worst and 1 being the best. Ribeye steak. That's what Vinny has. Number one, good on all of us. Yeah. Number 10, the worst, jelly-filled glazed donut.
Sure.
I think that covers,
up.
Checks every box. Some stuff that I think people would find interesting is also pickles are basically a 1 or 1.5, you know, real low. Almonds, low. Parmesan cheese crisps, you know, those things, very low.
Right.
Standard grocery store salamis, 3, 3.5. Steak taco, pretty low, 2. Peanuts, higher. Pistachios, a 5.
Damn
pistachios,
it.
Way up there. And give us the lowdown on pistachios, because I think a lot of people think, well, I'm just eating a nut. How bad could it be? But give us the pistachio.
Yeah, look, I named one of my companies Pistachio Press. I love the pistachio. There's not an Italian on the planet who will not pistachios. The problem with pistachios is that they're very carby.
Why?
I don't know why. I'm not God.
Come on.
But they're carby. I love them, but when I tell Serena, when we get them in the house, give me a handful and somehow get them where I can't find them. Now, Ozzy can probably sniff them out pretty quickly, but they're very carby.
And peanuts are basically like the garbage of legumes, right? Like everyone says peanuts are the worst.
But here's the thing. Adam told me not to look at how my liver looks at, you know, like, so yeah, peanuts are not good, not the best thing to have. But they even have more fat than
pistachios.
Yeah.
So given a choice, peanut or pistachio, just pure keto, what do you take?
We have a new term for it. We call it dirty keto, meaning it's dirty, but it's better. So the peanut would be slightly better than the pistachio.
No salt, not dry roasted.
No.
Just, or whatever. Everything's salted or everything's dry. Whatever it is. Just the two nuts, you could give the nod to the peanut.
We glossed over it, but why are the salami so high? Is that because the nitrates and the whatever?
Well, that was what the big fight was over in the back. It was the thriller in the other room killer.
But in terms of like, you know, keto-friendly,
it is a 3, meaning it's good, right?
Right.
But the stuff you buy in the store, the Oscar Mayer, this kind of crap.
Get the good stuff.
Yeah. If you get the stuff the Italians made, they dried it in their grandma's, you know, garage.
It has that white paper cheesecloth around
it. That stuff, that's good.
Yeah.
But you can also just go to Trader Joe's and get a decent
form of it. A better version, yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. This is where the break happens, which is we don't want to get the stuff that's dried in grandmama's garage because we can't find it or we don't whatever. We want the prepackaged stuff, but we want the good stuff. I think that's what
you can get a better version at Trader Joe's.
Yes. All right. Dawson. We've ruined the taco for Dawson.
I didn't want to see that. Oh, no, it's not ruined. I didn't want to see that. There's horrible things in there.
Why don't you read it, Gina Grad, as fast as you can?
Oh, I love the one on the second line. Okay, this is the filling. Beef, water, textured vegetable protein, defatted soy grits, seasoning. And I'm not even reading what's in parentheses, what makes up all this crap. Salt, garlic powder, hydrolyzed proteins, monosodium glutamate, onion powder, natural flavors, disodium inosinate, disodium guanylate, succinic acid, salt, tomato paste, Worcestershire sauce, sugar, spice, and then sulfiting agent.
All right, then
I'm still going to eat about 12 a week, but the joy level is just going to go down.
What's a defatted soy grit?
All right. We have my beloved sous vide egg bites at 8 as a Starbucks, tied with lasagna, tied with pork fried rice. Is this true or not, Vinny?
Yeah.
Is pork fried rice marginally better than white rice because it has fat in it?
I so hate when you do this, but...
Marginally better. Well, sometimes you go out to eat... And people get white rice and pork fried rice. If you said, just hit one of them, and you're going to hit one of them, which one do you hit?
The pork fried rice.
Because it's got some fat content in
it. Yeah, but again, it's not healthy.
Doritos is a 10.
Yeah.
A delicious 10.
Grilled cheese sandwich a 10. I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, because
it's
when
bread.
Yeah, it's,
no,
it's two slices of bread.
It's bread and bread. And the cheese.
I keep talking, Brandon. What are you
saying? Right,
it said two open
slices,
face.
How do you make one of those?
Of bread.
I know. It's the worst. It's 10. Because it's got cheese. It's also jelly filled glazed donuts a 10.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not surprised up there.
It's bumping up against the other 10. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, or Doritos or whatever. But go ahead.
It causes it causes a glycogen load, just like the jelly donut. It's not just going to give you a sugar spike. It's going to take it up and it's going to keep it up because of that white bread, or any bread for that matter.
Obviously, the cheese helps. American versus a good cheddar or something like that.
It's like saying you went to a Burning
Yes or no. Yes or
it.
No. Kids eat grilled cheese sandwiches. So what do you want to do? I mean, you got to give it cheddar cheese or American cheese. Is there a difference?
If you're going to send your kid to school with a jelly donut or a cheddar cheese sandwich, at least there's a little protein in there.
Yes.
So, but
no,
you're not
a grill. Sorry,
the year.
Vinny. Grilled cheese, American cheese versus cheddar cheese. Marginally better.
Grilled cheese versus.
You put American on it or cheddar
Max
on
Matt,
it?
Remember I said this is the problem?
I told him.
Listen,
I
was like, cheddar cheese better than American cheese in a grilled cheese.
Yes. By definition, American cheese is processed crap.
Right. Okay. So. If anyone needs a grilled cheese for their kid, use cheddar cheese, and it'll be a little bit better than that. Because no one, you can't get a 9-year-old to go full keto, and you can't get many 49-year-olds can.
Right.
So we got to kind of live in these margins.
You know, nor do you have to. You know, you're not. Look, when you're metabolically broken, yeah, it's a good idea to be keto. When you have a brain tumor, like Brian over there, it's better to be keto.
Yes.
You know, bottom line. But if you're a kid, think about what you ate as a kid, and you still got away with it.
Right, sure. Right?
So, all of it.
But I tell you one thing that is a big brought it up before, but, you know, I was a product of the, you know, take no fat, you know, don't use regular butter, use margarine, and have the whole wheat
butter
instead of the meat, you know what I mean? And all that kinds of be healthy. And boy, I could physically remember having a bowl. Now, you want to take it a step further, they'd go, have a bowl of granola, but don't use milk. Use apple juice.
Oh, it's my healthy. God.
It's really?
Yeah. I would be bedridden. Oh.
That's a West Coast super Yule Givens kind of thing.
So it's like, going to go like soy milk or something like that.
Apple juice.
No, it actually, if you could imagine granola, which is horrible for you, but tastes awesome.
Course,
so the number one rule of, hey, there's a cereal that I love that's good for me. It's called granola. Like, no, it isn't. The granola with the apple juice tastes good, obviously, because it's sweet apple juice and it's sweet granola. So I would find myself, when I was 22 and living on my own and or had a couple roommates working construction, I was like trying to be healthy. So they said you shouldn't eat more than 2 eggs a week and get away from the butter and all this kind of stuff. So I'm a bachelor, so I'm getting a bowl of grape nuts and I'm pouring orange juice into it or apple juice into it. And I put a little honey in there, just not too much, a little brown sugar, whatever.
Greedy.
Eat it. I'd eat that shit at 6:15, 6:30 in the morning. I'd go to the construction site, and at like 10 in the morning, I'd be looking for a place to sit down. And I was strong as an ox and healthy as a horse, and I'd just feel myself going like, I just have to lay down. Like, I'd have to close my eyes. Like, I was literally felt like someone who was driving all night and was just starting to fall asleep at the wheel. And ever since I started putting fat into the breakfast, the butter and the MCT oil and all the such, don't have that drop. What was I experiencing back then?
Blood glycogen just dropping, just falling out. All of your hormones were working against you. And think about it. I just talked about a load, right? When you get a load of when you have sugar, kid at the birthday party. Up, down, the kid is running around and now they're crying, right?
Right.
We're the same way. We're no different than kids. What you were doing is putting in sugar, quick spike, but then you put in that granola or that grape nuts or whatever. Now, the other side will tell you, hey, man, these are good carbohydrates because they're even keel. But what they do is they bring your blood sugar up. Now you have a load and your stomach keeps pumping into your liver. Your liver keeps getting that hit of insulin and ghrelin and leptin. And as soon as that lets go, it's about 2.5 or 3 hours later when it lets go, you plummet. And
God,
I've had people
palpable.
I've had clients back in the day say, no, you don't understand. The doctor says I'm a narcoleptic.
Right.
Writers, people who write for a living, they go, you don't understand. I have to tell so-and-so. I have to go in the other room and take a nap. I'm narcoleptic. But they're not. As soon as I got them off of the sugar, put them on fat. This is 20, 25 years ago when I was really considered a flat earther of this whole thing.
Sure.
They were like, I don't have that problem anymore. Why doesn't my doctor know this? And they would go tell their doctors, and the doctors would say, well, okay, if you want to die by a heart attack by noon tomorrow, knock yourself out.
It drives me nuts when I, turn on the news and Bloomberg's going, how about a meatless Monday? Let the kids be healthy. Let them have a pizza or a bagel and have a healthy, healthy, nutritious lunch instead of the meat. One day a week, and it's like, it's not good for them, but why don't you have access to this information?
The information is there. I mean, I just did a whole movie and had some of the top experts in the world say, look, we had it backwards. We had it all wrong. And everyone goes, yeah, okay, no meat. No meat for you. It makes no sense.
I don't like to be a conspiracy theorist, but I was looking around. I'm trying to study the algorithm of the IMDb and why every movie you loved and every movie you hate is a 7.3. Yeah. And I started to really drill down on it, and I realized that my stand-up special, Not Taco Bell Material, has a median score of 10, but an overall score of 7.8. So I have 70% of the people gave it a 10. It's a 10, but it got knocked down to a 7.8, and I realized it's
7.8 is great for a IMDb.
It still is. Yeah. It still is good, but the score as the people voted is 10 or a little lower than 10, and it's a 7.8. And then I went and looked at Vinny's Fata documentary, and he's got a 6.9 with a median score of 9. And I thought, why is everyone getting knocked down? And then the problem is, it's the top reviewers.
Oh, they get weighted that
way?
Who
are they?
My top reviewer, I got a 3, basically, with the top reviewers. Now, if you look on my schedule or scale, I got 68% on 10 and 0.9% is a 3.
Right.
So almost nobody gave me a 3, but the top reviewers give you a 3, you're screwed.
What's a top reviewer?
Well, I guess they're saying here's are the people that do it the most often and are not going to have all
like
your buddies, you know,
right.
push you, whatever.
Ugh.
But I also think that. The top reviewers are kind of woke, and I don't think I think they think meat is murder, and they think Adam Carolla is not funny,
and they think me is murder.
So yeah, so the way you get from a median of 10 down to a 7-8 is the top reviewer, and the way you get from a 9 to a 6-9 is the folks that don't agree with the meat part, and those are the top reviewers.
I was talking to Dennis Prager about that during a commercial break, and you know, no one's been hit more than him. But we were talking about how when my movie was up for pre-sale, you know, iTunes was killing it, Vimeo was killing it, a lot of other VODs were killing it, but somehow over at Amazon. They put a movie called Fat, a Documentary. The word documentary was in the title. They put it in fiction. So the people over at Gravitas called and said, hey, you put it in the wrong category. Oop, our mistake. They put it in action adventure. And
right.
It lived there. Hey, you guys made another mistake. The movie was out and killing it on Amazon, and they still had it in the wrong category.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned
a documentary is in the title.
Yeah. The word documentary is in the title, and they could not put it under documentaries. Now, again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist either, but when you sit there and talk to Dennis Prager and he's sitting there going, I don't know, I did a thing about the Ten Commandments and and they took me off of YouTube because of that. It's just crazy, right? I mean,
also it's crazy in that I'm an atheist, and I wish everyone would get down with the Ten Commandments, and I wish everyone would get down with the steak and the fat and the keto versus all the carbs. So it's obviously maddening because not this stuff is effective. It could save lives. It can heal people. We see people walking around all day. You know, obviously we've all seen it, but I see huge guys and they just got a big, you know, foot longer from Subway. And part of me wants to just stop them going, I know you think you're doing something right. But you're not. And we need to get the word out a little bit. And like Bloomberg announcing once a Meatless Monday and once the people. This guy's was it the governor or the mayor?
De Blasio?
De Blasio.
Was it De Blasio who wanted to meet?
Yeah.
So you have a mayor, right, of the – I get the mayor and the governor. Anyway, the mayor of the biggest city in our country, the biggest. You know, this guy's not the mayor of Plentywood, Montana. The biggest city.
Right.
The biggest, the most money, the biggest economy, the most education and income per capita, blah, blah, blah. The guy who runs that city has declared he wants people to eat healthy and not have meat, kids. So obviously we're having trouble with the message. Mm-hmm. If that guy doesn't know what's going on. Now, it's become a political movement and that's the problem. If you're just sitting around going, please give me the facts, then you'll act accordingly. But if you turn everything into sort of a movement, then it doesn't work. The latest is lawnmowers and leaf blowers are going to overtake automobiles in California in terms of pollution.
Most polluting.
Are you kidding? Is that like a real thing?
It sounds insane, but I'll tell you.
But they've regulated the auto industry. You can't make cars in California without having a certain level of.
They've done the fuel. Yeah. They've done the catalytic converters. They've done everything. Anyone who pictures standing next to a newish Honda in a parking garage, you can literally have a conversation at the back of the car while the car's running.
Right.
I mean, you all know it from like pulling into your garage. Anyone who pulls into a garage, the car's like can run there for 10 minutes while you're like talking to someone. In the past, your eyes would be watering and you'd be breathing
to get
through
air.
Your shirt. So cars are getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, have been.
Right.
Leaf blowers and lawnmowers and like Briggs & Stratton two-stroke motors, they've just been flatlining. That technology hasn't changed since the 30s. So, and we have laws against it, but we're obsessed in California with clean air.
My guess is not it's as much the engine or the whatever, the motor, as it is just the pollutants they kick up. You know what I mean? They're designed they kick up pollutants.
But this is simply what is coming out of the exhaust.
Really?
The airborne particulates are like, obviously I was walking Phil the other day and he stopped in the street and I was just trying to run him through a big cloud of this shit. That stuff's the worst ever. Again, we live in a state that has invented something called third-hand smoke, but we don't have any difficulty with the cloud of soot. So do you have some of those numbers, Max Pata?
Yeah, so according to state air quality officials, by 2020, leaf blowers and other small gas engines will create more ozone pollution than all the passenger cars in the state. And the reason is regulations on car exhausts have gone a lot tighter over the years. And now, if you want to do some like the driving equivalents, 1 hour of lawnmower use is equivalent to driving 300 miles from L.A. to Vegas.
Oh, my God.
Sounds about right, because a two-stroke engine, the valve works as an intake and an exhaust, meaning two-stroke. And so you have to mix oil and with gas. And that's just popping right out.
And even if it's not two-stroke, there's still no catalytic converter or whatever. What was the next stat you had?
And then so 1 hour of leaf blower use.
1 hour of leaf blower use.
Is equivalent to driving 1,100 miles. So basically L.A. to Denver.
Okay. So that's in
Everybody
California.
Good with that?
Yeah. Okay. Has AOC weighed in on this?
No, she doesn't
know. She doesn't know how to leaf blower.
They have, that's right.
She's still,
she doesn't know how to
garbage disposal.
But she's obsessed with
the Green New Deal.
Why not this one?
Yeah.
Well, what about Newsom? What about Garcetti? Have I heard anything from those guys?
Are they cracking down?
Why not?
They're getting tough on guns.
Anyone know? Someone know the answer?
They must have invested in a leaf blower company.
They're working on straws. No.
Well, we're allowed to eat roadkill now. You know that?
Big mower?
Yeah. Hispanics. They're all Mexican. All the gardeners are Mexican. They can't crack down on Mexicans.
By the way,
that makes you a bad person.
In Calabasas, my neighbor was smoking a cigar in his backyard on his property, had a knock on the door, opened the door. Yes, officer, what can I do for you? And the cops were there like, look, we don't want to be here. We just your neighbor called and said that they could smell smoke coming over the fence.
Jesus.
They ratted him out like that.
And secondhand smoke. Outside smoking a cigar in Calabasas, illegal.
Wow.
Illegal.
Okay.
I pose the
question. Do you want more of this? Do you want more?
The answer is a resounding yes.
Do you want more of this, you fucking idiots? Do you want more of this? Because that's what it is. It's just bigger, bigger government. It just keeps going. But it's very selective. Because it has very strong thoughts about you and your automobile, or if you open a business, what's coming out of the vent pipe of your business and all that stuff. It has zero thoughts about real pollutants because they've made a political choice. Those are the people that are in our constituency. The optics are bad. I yelled about it at a table in Maui a year and a half ago and had every one of those fucking idiots yell back at me that what I was saying was racist. I was just explaining to them what the truth is. The reason everything is regulated up the fucking wazoo and they don't go after these people is because they're the poor Hispanics. That's why. Pure and simple. Otherwise, it's just air pollution. And as Brian says, and we always yell about, it's a 1-2 punch of what's coming out of the exhaust pipe, but what's being blown
kicked
into
up
the street that your kid's playing on.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's horrible. And how can we expect to listen to someone who is obsessed with third hand smoke and has zero thoughts on leaf blowers? Zero. Okay, well then obviously it's stupid or liar, and in this case it's liar.
Yeah, and it goes deeper than that because there is literally nothing redeeming about a leaf blower because the noise is horrible, and think of what the whole purpose is. It's to blow your garbage just away from you, but you don't care where it
half
goes.
Half in the pool, half in the neighbor's yard. I'll mix it up. Okay, it's illegal. It's illegal. It's illegal. It's been illegal for 20 years. It's illegal. They just don't enforce it. No. Okay, but you don't get your car smogged for a couple of years. See how that goes. Just don't do it. Are you?
You want a car to come back?
You open a business and decide you know how to run a business. You don't need any inspectors to come in there and tell you what to do. You try it. Try it and see how it works. And by the way, that's why Vinny's moving out of California.
Yeah.
Everybody,
where are you going? I'm moving to Virginia, and I'm out of here. You know, and it was because, you know, I left. I went, well, the homeless will never come to my neighborhood. They can't because it's too hot. There's no way they're going to do it. All of a sudden, these broken down vans started showing up, and then couches started showing up on the sidewalk very near where I live out in Woodland Hills, in a very nice neighborhood, by the way. And then we had a murder that happened about a block and a half from the house.
Really?
Yeah.
Gina, sorry. Sorry. I know it's going to – you need a little prep time.
Yeah, can I go?
Your feelings. Yeah, I figure you can miss the murder talk.
Thank you.
Because Gina just moved to that area.
But, you know, right.
I live in a –
because she's next.
A little sleepy community called Walnut Acres is right near El Camino Real, right on the border of Calabasas, where they will give you a ticket for smoking a cigar at your house.
Sure.
And we just started looking around. We bought a house in Virginia just to have an investment property there. And I found myself spending more time in my own Airbnb and then coming back to LA to go to work. And it just kind of became a joke of, why can't we just live here and I can still go to LA and do my work and then just get the hell out of there again.
Right.
So now we sold the house in Walnut Acres. I have another house in Calabasas that I'm selling, and we're just getting out of L.A. because it's gotten so expensive, and we're not getting anything in return. We get nothing for us.
Right.
So there was no reason to be here other than the fact that Pure Vitamin Club and Pure Coffee Club are here, and I can get all that work done in a few days and then head right back to Nirvana.
You're going to buy a mansion in Virginia?
Pretty much, you could buy a mansion from what we're selling. But we're not, we can do it for a lot cheaper there. And I encourage everyone to get out while you can, because it's getting bad.
Well, what's happening is kind of like the same thing that was happening with cars, but in a sort of reverse way. Cars are getting cleaner and cleaner, and there's a proliferation of leaf blowers. You know, when I was a kid, you didn't see a leaf blower.
Right.
And when I was 30, you saw 5 leaf blowers, and now you see 100 leaf blowers, right? So one thing's going up and one thing's going down. And the way California is working is the part where the government goes after criminals and enforces laws like leaf blowing and deals with the homeless, that's all out the window.
Right.
But they've tripled down on what you can do in your backyard with your cigar. Right. So it's actually kind of lose-lose. They've stopped working on actual crime and started focusing on fleecing more taxpayers from their money. And now, of course, it's good if you don't like paying taxes and you want to live in a camper van in Venice, but it's bad if you pay taxes and you want to raise a family, because it's two things are happening simultaneously. It's not like, oh, they've turned a blind eye to homeless. Yes, they have turned a blind eye to homeless, but they're also tripling down on getting money from folks that are just here trying to make a living and pay their taxes and raise their family.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You know, just to give you a few examples of what we noticed when we started spending more time there. When I fill up my truck here, it's almost $100 now. It's like $95. You fill up the truck in Virginia, it's $35. And you sit there and you go, well, what's all the extra money? Oh, it's all taxes at the pump taxes. I can go kayaking there, no problem. The last time I was in here with Dr. Drew, I said to Drew, hey, what's with this hole? I hear you talking about it midday on your show. He says, I wouldn't dip a toe in that ocean. So when you're paying
all the
these,
fecal matter from all the homeless and all the everything,
yeah,
the rats is all just
down.
Washing down to
so
the bay.
I'm sitting there looking around going, okay, I'm paying more and more taxes. I'm paying at the pump. You know, all of my companies pay a ton of money, and I can't drive down the street and I can't go kayaking. All the things I enjoy doing, I can't do. And God forbid my guns aren't stored properly when I'm going to the shooting range to do a little trap and skeet.
Sure.
Because I would get arrested.
I don't know gay slang, but keep going.
You got the idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not good enough that the guns are taken apart in the case. If I don't have a special lock on that case and I get stopped by a cop, I'm going straight to jail. You know, little things like that where you go, okay, why am I here? What am I doing here? I can do what I do from anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you, there's one thing that L.A. should understand. They used to rely on that. I think the movie business has taught them that people will get up and leave. There's such a thing as Southwest, and folks will build studios in Atlanta, or they'll go to New Mexico, they'll go to Canada. they really relied heavily on sort of, well, our roots are here and where else you're going to live, whatever. People more than ever, and especially with technology, you know what I mean? It's not like you're leaving in a weird way. You're emailing and texting
you
and talking
to anywhere.
And you can do anything anywhere now. Right. People will leave, and they are leaving, and that's something the folks running the city should be thinking about. All right, Gina has her Eat Your Feelings out there. Let me hit she's give us the thumbs up. I'm excited. Let me hit Butcher Box. Oh, this year, do Thanksgiving dinner right with Butcher Box. They're offering a free turkey with their amazing meats. 100% grass-fed and finished beef. Free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork. That's the old school pork, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, and sugar and nitrate-free bacon for shipping right to my door. I love these guys. God, I just go nuts on all their food. And again, good, clean protein. Just $6 a meal, plus free shipping nationwide, except for Alaska and Hawaii. Thanksgiving's around the corner. Perfect time to try Butcher Box. Sign up today and get a free turkey, plus $20 off your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/Adam. That is butcherbox.com/Adam at checkout. All right. Do we have an intro for this? Shall we try this?
We're doing this now?
Yeah,
I guess so.
Okay.
Might as well.
Gina Grads, Eat Your Feelings. Brought to you by Butcher Box.
She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night. And ever since then, her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
Well, now I know it takes exactly one song for you guys to eat.
Damn, man, that's good.
Oh, good. So I did a little white chicken chili, although the way I do it, it doesn't end up really being white. Damn, Vinny, what a compliment.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So
Rudy clap.
I use chicken thighs and a lot of smoked paprika and a lot of cumin. So I don't do it doesn't end up being white. But I do love white chicken chili. Mm. Just this is a slow cooker crock pot dinner. This is raw chicken thighs.
Is it easy?
No, it's so difficult. It cooks while I'm sleeping, but I'll never say it's easy. Literally raw chicken thighs. A cup of chicken stock, and then you know some fried onions and garlic.
I didn't even know it was chicken.
Oh wow!
I just knew it was protein, I thought it was beef. I mean, it just tastes like great chili.
Oh good! There's no tomatoes in this.
There's beans.
Well,
are you trying to knock me out of keto, Gina?
Here's the thing. It is now what I know to be
Kiss up.
Dirty keto, according to Vinny, because I texted him the other day and I said, can I put any amount of beans in this? And he said, pumpkin, because that's what you always call me. Do what you got to do. Here's the deal. These recipes for white chicken chili always call for 2 cans of beans. That's 68 ounces of beans. Huh? I used 14 just to puree it, just to thicken it. I actually don't think it needs it, but I really didn't want it to be soupy. I like chili to be more like a stew. Mm-hmm. So just FYI, you can leave them out. Just don't use as much chicken stock. And this is literally something you dump in the slow cooker, go to sleep, you wake up, the house smells like garlic, and then you pour it in a bowl. And of course, it'll be up at grainfreecomfortfood.com tonight.
Now, Adam, why would you go get a broccoli cheddar soup from Panera when you can have this?
I'll tell you why. Because I blame Sonny. Sonny wanted to go on a bike ride on Saturday, and he wanted to go to Panera. So I had, you know, had my coffee with the thick cream in it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to watch this little shit eat. He got chicken noodle soup inside of a loaf of bread.
Bread bowl.
He got the bread bowl. And I was like, I'm just going to sit there and watch him do it.
Okay. Are
and
you kidding me?
Of course, we're standing in line. And the problem with standing in line is all you can do is stare at the menu. Staring
and
at the menu.
And the smell of bread wafting.
And then I'm like, I rode a mountain bike here. I wasn't pushed here.
How far
in a wheel,
is it, by the way?
A block. But either way.
Who rode the bike, Vinny?
Downhill both ways.
And
I said, Jesus Christ, I wrote a goddamn bike. And what am I supposed to do? Just sit here and stare at him and his fucking bread ball?
Yes.
So I was like, all right, and I cannot get the clam chowder, and mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure about the chicken noodle. It's got the word noodle in there. And then one thing has the word cheddar, and it has the word has the word broccoli and cheddar in it. I know it's bad. There are many other offerings on this that are worse. But this will be bad.
You didn't get a croissant sandwich.
I didn't get a croissant sandwich, and I said, "Screw it, I'm going to get it." And I knew I was wrong.
Oh, I have some bad news.
And I also did this move. I said, and they're like, "Oh, okay. Do you want the baguette mm-hmm. with that? Or do you want the crackers?" I was like, "No, just a bowl with the soup. Just a bowl with the soup
and a napkin to polish my hair."
Yeah, and they're like, "You don't want the baguette? It comes with the baguette." No, we're good. Sonny's bread bowl came with a baguette.
Bread and bread.
I guess so we could suck through it or something. Stir it like a coven of witches. So I then was staring at Sonny eating his bread bowl with this baguette next to him. And then, of course, I'm just going to bust a little end off there. Just dip it.
There's less carbs in the end.
Just a tip. Just a tip, ladies. Come on. Just a tip.
Never goes any further.
At some point, I was reaching across, eating his baguette.
Just thrusting it in. His bowl.
Because that's what happens, right? You go, no baguette, no baguette. I don't know that the bowl needs to come with the baguette. It's a baguette that's shaped like a bowl.
So I feel good about myself. I fell off.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to add insult to injury. This is breaking news. This was just handed to me. As opposed to what I just gave you, which is literally chicken thighs, chicken stock, onion and zucchini, essentially. Here, would you like to know the ingredients of the cheddar broccoli bowl at Panera?
No, but okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Water, water's the first ingredient. Water, broccoli, pasteurized processed cheddar
cheese, food.
whey protein concentrate, skim milk, sodium citrate, salt, milk fat, lactic acid, Olericin paprika, whipping cream,
Tasted really good.
I bet.
So I knew there was an issue.
The first ingredient is water.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, water.
She was hydrated.
Yeah.
Good.
It was really where I really fell off is the stupid baguette that was handed to Sonny.
It's right there.
And he wasn't eating it because he was eating his bowl.
Yeah. Was it warm?
It was nice. Yeah. Oh, good.
I'll be honest.
Crusty, soft on the inside.
They crank those things up for a reason.
Yeah. All right. Bald's got an announcement.
Yeah.
Do we have an outro for Gina, by the way?
Grainfreecomfortfood.com.
There you go.
Take your time.
All right. Oh, Reach your
feelings. Brought to you by Butcher Box.
Do some healthy eating.
Oh, hey, put a dollop of sour cream in here, too, right?
Yeah, I put, for fixins, I did a little dollop of sour cream, some hand-shredded cheese, and a little cilantro, a little lime juice.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Sorry.
You want to do it?
Everyone
listening knows I'm raising a bunch of money for stupid cancer through Laughs with Paul Bryan. The tickets are selling fantastic, by the way. Thank you guys for snatching up those last few tickets. I think 33 now left of the floor tickets and 68 VIP tickets. So they are selling. Vinny bought some tickets, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I realize there's people who either can't come, they're not available, they're uninterested, whatever, but they still want to help the cause, right? We're raising a bunch of money, and I'm trying to repay this spiritual debt, not literal debt too. Like the first event raised six figures for me and Christy, and it was the most life-changing night in our lives. And I want to raise at least that much money, if not more. And one of the ways I'm going to do it, I'm offering I think the first time we ever done this, I was inspired by Mike Dawson, our own taco eater, Mike Dawson. You have the chance, everyone listening, to do my job for a day. You can sit in, do the drops, dominate the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Point shit on
those points. This is an auction. This is a charity auction. All the money is going to stupid cancer. And the link is on adamcarolla.com. It'll be pinned to my Twitter. It'll be pretty easy to find. It's a charity auction. all the money going to Stupid Cancer, and we'll get a prearranged time that works for you to come in and play the Rotten Tomatoes game, play the drops.
Are you going
to
be here? Or you taking the day off?
I'm out of here. I'll be at Disneyland. No, of course I'll be walking. I'll give you a tour of the studio, show you how the drops work, do the whole thing. If you're interested, AdamCarolla.com. There's a link on
That'll
the homepage.
Be fun.
Thanks, guys. It's all going to a good
It's cause. All going to the big bucket for Stupid
Cancer. All right, I'm going to tease a question about Dawson and Vinny. And
the greatest duo of all time.
I'm curious of everyone's impressions. Dawson sitting next to Vinny with Jack, big box, big bag of Jack in the Box. Is that a statement? I do my own thing. Is it coincidence? Is there any thoughts? And we'll get Dawson's thoughts. Is there any thoughts? Like, you're sitting next to Vinny doing everything he tells you not to do. Does it run through your mind? And you go, screw it, I got a good metabolism. Or are you going, I'm going to be a little punk rock here and do this? Or is it just, I have no thoughts about it? Now, don't tell us. Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
I get to weigh in also whenever we do it.
There are other,
I have thoughts.
There are other places you can, obviously there are other places you can eat around here that don't have to be in the vicinity of Vinny. I'm praying for the purity of no thought.
Yeah,
I'm praying for that.
I'm going for the angle of no thoughts other than I'm hungry, I like Jack in the Box, and this is a comfy seat.
Okay. Vinny thoughts.
I disagree.
All right. Well, let's see. Now, in a way, it's like when those models are eating Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. It pisses off the fat chicks. You know what I mean?
But what do they care?
They're making a statement. You know what I mean? Is there a little statement in that?
I think it was a little punk rock.
Let's see. Hold on. First, let me hit Castrol, and I'll tell you guys, you can head out to your local AutoZone and be entered to win automatically if you pick up 5 quarts of Castrol Edge. And the STP Extended Life Oil Filter, just $33.99. Use your AutoZone rewards and be automatically entered to win. See me in Vegas in November, 3-day, 2-night trip. Right, Dawson?
No purchase necessary to enter to win. Open to residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th through October 21st. Void where prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
All right, so you come in, you got Jack in the Box, and you sidle up. You sit on Vinny's lap.
Mm.
And then you reach your hand around the back of his neck like Andrew Dice Clay smokes, and you eat your Jumbo Jack around his neck.
Dickory duck.
Is that pure happenstance, or is there any thoughts, like when you see Vinny's truck parked there or anything?
I walked in with my bag of Jack in the Box, super hungry. I looked to my left. I saw my friend Chris. I saw my friend Vinny and said, oh, I'll go eat with them.
Wow.
No thoughts about what Vinny does or preaches.
It didn't obviously cross my mind when you walked in and there was a scale being gone over. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm eating. Whatever.
But none before that.
No, zero.
Interesting.
I'm going to take that as a win.
Wow. Yeah. I thought there was just going to be a little bit of like, I'm my own man. And here's a great example of how I'm my own man.
No, I take no pride.
If I hit you with some sodium pentothal and an ether rag right now, we go into the deepest recesses of Dawson's brain. You know, Vinny, that's all he does is preach about this stuff. Is there one, if you really just, you went to that quiet place and you thought, maybe there was something behind
it. Wait, Adam, you know how much sodium pentothal it would take to get him moving? They don't make that much.
All right. No, nothing.
Vinny, I don't keep secrets from Vinny. I eat crap in front of him all the time. I never care about it. It never crosses my mind, really.
Yes. You're wired like my dog, Phil.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I don't care if that's the Duke of Ferdinand or a homeless guy. I'm licking that dude's balls. I don't care. I don't. That's a purity. I think it's a purity we all strive for.
It's to be commended.
I'm going to tell you why I think it's okay. And he, Mike and I get along really well, right? And I've been out to watch him play music. We've shared scotch together and the whole thing. So I think he, unlike you, where whenever we have dinner, you're looking at me going, "Oh, he's judging me," which I never do. He doesn't have that because I stand outside while he smokes and we have conversations. So I don't have a problem with anything Mike does. I like Mike, and I think Mike likes me.
The question isn't really would you stop liking Mike. But it's the question of the feeling you have when you're doing it in front of much.
He doesn't feel judged.
Like the departed Christopher Reeve's wife is smoking on the horse analogy. Right. Like the thoughts. I went out to eat with, I went out to meet with good Matt D'Andrea last Saturday night.
How did you like that?
It was awesome. And at some point, Matt goes, you know, the, I think it was the lobster mac and cheese. He goes, I always want that. But I'm always only eat here with Vinny, so I can't get it. And then we both kind of looked at each other, like when a cop and a criminal find some drug money together, and they're like,
what do we do?
No one has to know.
Like in the town, you know, when the cop just looked at him and went, look back. And I was like, could we? But we didn't order. Right. We didn't order.
Yeah.
We
good cops, not order. Dirty cops.
I feel bad because I wish Matt would order that because we go there all the time. And
he doesn't. He's got whatever. Wherever Dawson grew up, I don't think Matt was in the vicinity of that neighborhood. So the purity.
Wow. That's right.
The purity of Dawson. The love unbridled it. Purity.
The uncut.
Uncut, unstepped on, pure of thought. It is, and possibly deed. Dawson, everyone. All right. Joel Stein, writer, an old friend, is coming in, and he's got a new book with very interesting subject matter. We'll talk to him about that in a second. Vinny, everybody, purevitaminclub.com. I take them every single day. Pure Coffee Club, fantasticcoffee.com as well. And check out his website, vinnytortorich.com. Quick break. Joel Stein in next.
One night only. Laughs with Bald Brian. A night of stand-up comedy benefiting Stupid Cancer, a charity dedicated to helping young adults with cancer. Featuring Larry Miller, Dana Gould, Greg Fitzsimmons, Joel McHale, Brad Williams, Kyle Dunnigan, Jeff Cesario, Dr. Drew, and Adam Carolla. With your host, Brian Bishop.
Hey, this is Brian. I'm so excited and proud to be hosting this incredible fundraiser benefiting Stupid Cancer. They've been there for young adults like me who were diagnosed with cancer, and I'm thrilled to be able to pay it forward. If you love comedy, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you do, then please don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to laugh and give back to this great organization.
Saturday, November 2nd at the Avalon Theater in Hollywood. For tickets or to donate to the event, go to laughswithbaldbrian.com. That's laughswithbaldbrian.com.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. This month's shipment includes an in-shower beer can and wine glass holder from Sip Caddy for all of you practical alcoholics out there. An official Adam Carolla's The Hammer branded jump rope to stave off the effects of your shower drinking. A copy of Shrinkage, signed by Bald Brian. A bottle of Ogre sauce, perfect for any and all meals fresh off the grill. It's also gluten-free for you pussies out there. Of course, a bottle of Mangria or 33 wine. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find another golden ticket. That's right, two lucky winners and their guests will get a VIP pass to Laughs with Bald Brian. Meet and mingle with the ACS family and the whole lineup of comedians performing that evening. That's Fitzdog, Dana Gould, Kyle Dunnigan, and more. Sign up at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25 and cross your fingers because you and a guest may be watching Bald Brian from backstage with the rest of the ACS regulars. So prep your mailbox and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Deschutes County, Oregon. A 30 and 34-year-old inmate on a work crew went joyriding in a stolen sheriff's ATV. The men were drunk on the alcohol from hand sanitizer. Definitely not a Jew.
Jill Stein in studio.
Definitely a Jew.
Friend. I met Man, probably the first week of the Man Show, right?
Yeah, before it was on the air. I came in to supposedly work there for a week.
There was a lot of stunt casting in the writing department. I don't mean that in a pejorative way,
no,
but
I like
mean
being a stunt.
Daniel Kellison was like our New York Danny Two Sheets. He was like, me and Jimmy were like the bumpkins, and he was like the guy who worked for Letterman. So he'd be like, "Well, we'll get Joel Stein in here," and I'd be like, "Who's Joel Stein? Oh, he's a writer. He writes for GQ in New York. We'll get him in, and
he'll straighten this out."
And Jordan Rubin and Jeff Ross, and we were all like, "Okay, we do radio in L.A. We don't know what's going on." So that's when we got to meet a lot of these guys.
That's where I came in wearing probably the 90s version of what I'm wearing now. And I was wearing shoes that weren't sneakers. And I remember everyone pointing at them and calling them wooden shoes. As if they've never seen like patent leather shoes before.
Wooden shoes.
The book, In Defense of Elitism, Why I'm Better Than You and You're Better Than Someone Who Didn't Buy This Book. It's Joel's latest offering, and it's available this coming Tuesday on Amazon, and you can pre-order now, and you bookmark and click through our site. It just helps. So tell us all about the book, Joel.
Yeah, so I got really upset at this kind of populist movement that's going on, and it really scared me, the fact that we're electing people who just operate from their gut, and we've kind of devalued expertise.
And the
intellectual elite have really taken it on the chin, and no one stood up for them, and I'm here to stand up.
Let's drill down on from the gut, because I'm really there's a lot of I know in my heart and I feel what I feel, and I don't know
more
what that
than
means.
The generals.
And guys like Drew are bothered because he's a physician and doesn't like everyone knowing in their gut what's going on with the homeless crisis when he's a physician, has worked with a lot of these people, and we should defer to him, but no one's an expert anymore because everyone just wears flip-flops and cargo shorts, except for Joel.
Everyone's
Joel
got a Twitter account.
Letters. Right. So is that – I feel like politicians are just saying what they're hearing. Like, if more people want this, then I'll say more of that. I mean, not Trump per se, but a lot of politicians are just going, which way is the wind blowing? Let's do it.
Yeah, there's got to be more of telling the voters, no, you can't have, you know, more services and lower taxes. You got to choose. Like, no one's forcing people to make hard choices.
Right. It kind of started when people at rallies or in the audience and the whatever going, you know, I'm a mother of three and I'm single. What are you going to do for me? And it's like, I'm not going to do anything for you. Going to try to, you know, keep crime down to a minimum and taxes to a minimum, and then you can go work or not.
Yeah, there's a lot of trying to blame everyone else for everything that's going on. No one ever talks about the people who signed those mortgages that were, you know, that they shouldn't have been signing, the people who gave them those mortgages.
Right.
It just went straight to blaming the government.
Well, there's an interesting study, and I don't know if you can find it, Maxipata, and maybe this is a Freakonomics thing or not, I can't recall, but when we had the downturn in the economy before 08, 09, a decade before that, or 15 years before, whatever, the
Jimmy
down,
Carter one.
The down Carter, I don't know if it was that far back.
Oh, the H.W. Bush 92
recession. We can look it up, but here's my point. We had a downturn, and yet most people still paid their most of the people did it. This time, we had a downturn, and everyone went, fuck it, you pay for it, and I'm leaving.
I went to Vegas and Tampa right after, and it was interesting to see people just walked away from their houses because they were underwater.
They're like, everyone blamed the government.
Why should I have to pay my debt? I mean, not everyone lost their job. I mean, you're able to pay your mortgage if you still have a job, regardless of what your house is worth.
Right. So the difference is, during an economic downturn, there's always going to be a percentage of people, small percentage, who just physically can't make the payment.
Sure.
No matter how hard they try or how many extra jobs they take on or calling in family and friends or whatever, they can't make it. But that number's actually pretty small in my guesstimation. That's a single-digit number versus 80% of people just walked away versus the last one when 17% of people walked away. That's a psychological zeitgeist thing. That's not an economics thing.
Yeah, oh, for sure, because if your house is underwater, it has nothing to do with your mortgage. It's just that knowing that it's worth less than what you just refinanced it for or bought it after being flipped, and it's just you being able to walk away.
Right. So ultimately, this either the government's going to help me or blame the government is going to kind of be our undoing in my estimation, because there's more citizens than there are politicians cops or district selectmen. And if we don't all kind of get our shit together and have a little quiet dignity, like, hey, I bought the house, I got to make the payment. If we don't, if we do that versus, hey, why doesn't the government do it? We'll just come undone. That's,
yeah, the undoing I'm even more afraid of is what Dr. Drew talks about. Is there's a chapter in the book where Kaiser Permanente hires more actors, I think, than any other company in the world, maybe other than Disney. And so they have these, in addition to doing, I think, some really great high school productions about STDs, which they call Downtown Souvenirs, which I encourage you all to do. They also have people improv with doctors. And one of the things they improv is someone who comes in after reading a WebMD article and just argues with them about their diagnosis until they get the medication they want.
Really?
I had a doctor friend of mine and one of these improv people come in and act it out in front of me for the book. Mm-hmm. And it is intense how people feel like they are experts after skimming a WebMD article.
I got to tell you, the only time I'm happy about my construction skills is nobody ever fucking argues.
That's right. But you have a lot of expertise, right? Like
I do in door hanging and house construction.
But
yeah.
I've been to your house. And the one I remember leaving there and being like, oh, right. My wife was right. You specifically said, like, whatever year your house was built, that's how you design it.
Right.
Like, that's a very elitist kind of attitude about home building. Like I have some expertise. I have a sense of style. And this is what you should do.
The thing that's nice about kind of the hard stuff, like transmission repair, is no asswipe stands over your shoulder while you're putting your synchro meshes back in and tells you what you're doing.
And yet the Middle East, people just think they can go in and solve if they were put in charge for a second.
And weirdly, doctors like Dr. Drew get second guessed all day long. Yeah. Like, God, I yelled. Years ago, I yelled at one of his patients on his phone. We were sitting in the back of like a town car driving to the airport, and he's like, oh, you know, yeah, no, you have to come in. Then you have to go to the hospital. And he was like, but no, you physically have to go in. You can't, I'm not going to solve it over the phone. The symptoms you're giving me, you must go in. It was an elderly patient. And he said that about 14 times during. It's like, I get it. I understand, but I need you to go. And at a certain point, I grabbed the fucking phone. I went, go to the fucking hospital. Go to the fucking hospital. And I threw the phone back at Drew because, like, I'm fucking tired of this. Now I'm getting your secondhand shit. I got to live it. I got to live it with you. I do that with his wife occasionally, too.
Go to the hospital.
Do something. He's trying to get off the fucking phone with you.
There's one doctor I talked to writes WebMD articles, and he had the amazing experience of someone coming in and arguing with his diagnosis, one of his patients. Using
referencing
his
the WebMD article.
Oh, that's so
he's like,
good.
You didn't even understand what I wrote.
So, obviously, we thought the computer was going to do away with this.
Right.
And so we thought that the invention of the washing machine was going to free up more time for the housewives to relax.
For lounging.
For 10 minutes, and now everyone's working harder. You
on
know
Facebook.
What I mean? But there's a notion that these innovations are going to clear things up and free things up and all
still
that
the
kind
same
of stuff.
Human problems.
And they actually make us worse.
Yeah. The forces that drive us towards the tribalism and nationalism that are scaring me so much are human forces. And that's not because of Facebook. This thing happens every so often when people experience great change.
You talked to Scott Adams, Dilbert Crater.
I went to his house. Yeah.
Who's a very fascinating guy.
Fascinating. Very nice.
Super nice.
Yeah.
I don't even know exactly what his politics are, though he seems very pragmatic. I don't know. He doesn't seem pie in the sky. You hung out with him. What? We've interviewed him a few times. I find him to be fascinating. But what were your takeaways?
So I divide the book into different sections. First, I hung out with the populace. I went to the county that had the highest percentage of Trump voters of any in the country, which was in the panhandle of Texas.
Folded the yarmulke up.
Oh my God.
Put it in the glove box of the rental car.
Put the payas over his ear.
Literally. Hey, y'all.
Hey, you all.
Hey, you all.
Shalom, y'all.
Everyone I talked to, my mom, my lawyer, my accountant, I'm just naming Jews now, told me to not tell them I was Jewish. And I was like, they're going to see this face and hear this name. And I'm
see those patent leather shoes.
Yeah. Mr. Stein, you said?
Meanwhile, I finally mentioned that to someone there after a day or two. And they were like, yeah, we know the dreidel song.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, Mrs. Lottman taught us the dreidel song. And they sang it to me.
So how was that?
They
how
knew
were
much
you
more about my life that was received great. I had the best time. I learned a lot about – I thought I would go down there and teach them some important things, and they would teach me some things that I could probably stitch on a doily, and we'd have this nice exchange. But instead, I really thought a lot of how they live their life as far as their community, and like – I know this is going to sound very generic, but like hanging out on the porch and not looking at their phone and going to church and all knowing each other seemed like, in a lot of ways, a better way to live, even though I didn't want them voting on the world in 2019.
Did I have this thought, which is I feel like those people, the middle of the country, whatever we're talking about, Trump, mm-hmm. Hodge, I feel like they know Hollywood and they know
totally.
The coast and they know CNN and they know liberal yeah. outlets and things like that. But I don't feel like the liberal outlets know them.
Exactly.
I don't think they want to know them in a weird way. I well, think it's just easier to go, that guy's a simple guy. I don't know.
Well, you turn on a TV, you're going on vacation, you're going to go to a liberal place.
Like, every airport in the yes. country has CNN playing on every monitor. Yeah. Of course you're going to know what's going
not
on
even CNN,
CNN.
Just like Modern Family. Like you see right. the life out here in LA all the time. And I'd never been to a place like Miami, Texas in my life. And it was fascinating.
Tell us, so Scott Adams,
yeah, sorry,
he was in here
Adams.
About a year ago. I liked the guy. I found him interesting. Mm-hmm. I think I stumbled onto him on Mar's show doing yeah. some sort of making some prognostications I found that were interesting. What's your take?
On Scott?
Yeah.
He really embraces this idea that truth doesn't matter, that truth is unknowable, that we just should embrace whatever facts kind of either make us happy or help us make predictions. And it's kind of crazy making.
Mm-hmm.
Like this belief in Trump and in populism. I mean, he said things to me that just... And I liked him so much, and we had a great time. He said things to me that just drove me crazy. Like, you know, nobody in the world as complicated as it is today, everything's a fog. And in the fog of war, you just shoot, is basically his argument. It's like, when you make a trade deal, I think he said to me, the cheese guy doesn't know what the dairy guy knows, and it's all changing too quickly, so you just yell the loudest.
Right.
And I'm like, no, people know things. Like, cheese and dairy are the same thing.
Or, yeah, you know, well,
she's the type of dairy.
We've figured out that you can kind of assign a happy face or a sad face to almost any subject. You know, we talk about, you know, if you really want to work on carbon emissions,
right.
you got to take a look at nuclear. You just do.
For sure.
But they don't. Because they gave nuclear a sad face. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
And they said no nukes.
I think people who really work on carbon emissions are embracing nuclear.
But you don't hear it. You don't hear them talk. They're not the ones that make it onto the panel.
Liberals our age probably still think nuclear is dangerous because they grew up during Three Mile Island and Jane Fonda. But I don't think that's how most carbon emission people think of it anymore.
If you talk to any AOCers or any folks that are
right.
for
but
the Green New
too.
Deal. I know,
yeah.
but they're like, oh, we want to do this, but no nukes. No nukes. And it's like, why not no nukes? But somebody did a good campaign of smearing nukes.
Yeah.
Basically.
Which were, you know, more dangerous when they first started.
Now not so much. But anyway, And it's an example of something that just
yes.
somebody did a good job of smearing it, and now we don't look at it.
People haven't caught up with
right.
With
I've had guys
itself.
That are
yeah.
amazing scientists sitting where you're sitting.
Really?
Yeah.
This is exciting now.
I put a paper towel down now
okay,
because I don't want
okay.
any of your DNA getting changed. But they go, of course, the nuclear power plant is a good idea, but it's not popular. No one's going to go for it.
Well, if you go to France, it's popular.
It's very popular.
Right, right.
Japan.
It's
yeah.
country.
No, I get it. It's just we can't sell it in this country. So I'm making your point,
yeah.
which is the facts don't really matter.
And
it's
do
this
you
popularity
consider,
contest.
Do you consider yourself a member of the elite, or you're uncomfortable with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm elite.
Okay,
I'm smarter
yeah, yeah.
than everybody.
Yeah. But
and I can build shit.
You can build shit, and you seem to like, you know, Pinot Noirs from the San Ynez.
Well, what is elite? You describe elite.
Yeah. So in the book, I talk about two different kinds of elite. The intellectual elite, which I think are people who talk about ideas, people who – I mean, you specifically kind of sought out this life. It wasn't presented to you. You kind of worked pretty hard to get here instead of being a carpenter.
Well, I wanted stuff. Like, I like cars. I wanted to own a home.
But you would have become a contractor if that's all you wanted. You wanted entree into some kind of world of ideas, and that you saw out there. You wanted to be on a stage.
No, I didn't want to be on stage. I didn't.
Well, you wanted to do comedy. I'm sorry.
My thing was when I was like 22, mm-hmm. and I was just sitting in my apartment in North Hollywood with my three roommates, my futon and no air conditioning, driving a beat up Nissan pickup truck, probably Datsun back then. And I was like, construction sucks. Like, it's hot, yeah. It's dirty, and then it rains and you don't get paid. Now, like, if I was in a union and working on a crew building sets at Paramount or something, I may have gone, hey, not too shabby. But I wasn't. I was getting $11 an hour. And again, if it rained, no work that day, no pay that day. No insurance, no overtime, no days off, no nothing. And I was just sort of sitting around and I was going, this sucks. Like, how is it you're going to have a cool car, because I like cars, but you have to drive a pickup truck, but you can't afford insurance on two cars, and where would you park it? Out on the street? Like, you live in an apartment, and blah, blah, blah. And I understood that, like, okay, you get your contractor's license and get a little crew together, and you could make more money, but it's so much work, and it's so difficult, and then you get your crew, and now you gotta deal with them not showing up, and everyone's an alcoholic, and everyone's a mess in the construction trades. And they're horrible. Everyone's horrible.
No, I'm confused how you go from the, I want a really nice car, the road to that is improvisation.
So I was like, what else do you do? And I was like, well, you can't be a doctor, and you can't be a lawyer, and you can't do many, many things, because you can't read, and you can't write, and you can't fill out things. You couldn't do any. You can't be a court stenographer. Can't do anything in the court except for actually be convicted of something. So I went, well, you have a good sense of humor. That was it. And I was just like, sort of realistic. You're good with your hands, have a good sense of humor. So I was like, okay. Well, I got a TV set. I can see Eddie Murphy seems to be making a lot of money, and some of these other sitcoms. Like, I hear how much these guys are getting paid. Maybe there's some road to getting paid doing comedy. Probably not stand-up. Probably not a sitcom. Maybe behind the scenes. Maybe I could find someone who would transcribe for me when I told jokes, and they would write. You can't. I can't type, but maybe they could type or something. And all I did was I went, I don't think I can figure this out in my living room in North Hollywood in 1986, but I am just going to start going down that road, and we'll see where the road takes me. So I found somebody whose husband was composed music, like it was a conductor for like the Oscars and stuff, and she seemed to be kind of in that world, Jewish lady. Chaykin was her last name. Jules, the dad, I think, died semi-recently. But anyway, I said, it was a friend of mine's mom. I said, like, my other buddies, Ray and Chris, the guy owns a transmission shop. The other guy does dental something. Like, they don't know anything about this world. But I went to Judy. It was Judy Chaykin. And I said, what do you know about comedy or, any of this? And she's like, go take class at the Groundlings. I was like, what is that? And she's like, it's over the hill. It's an improv trip. Go sign up. And I was like, okay. And I just went over there. I just drove my pickup truck over there. And I was like, here I am.
And then once that world was open to you, that's kind of world of like, I mean, the world you're in now, which is like the world of ideas, the world of politics, the world of policy, like that instantly appealed to you? Or were you still focused on like just getting a better car?
I was like, okay, it seems to me everyone who was at the Groundlings was college educated and had taken – many had taken like drama classes and stuff. And then some were like attorneys who wanted to be better in the courtroom and those kind of people. But I was clearly the only blue-collar sort of pickup truck guy there. There wasn't any blue-collar representation. So I was like, I think I'm funnier than most all these people, but I also know I don't know what I'm doing or know anything. I don't know anything about stage or acting or direction or how to stand or what to do or space. Like, I don't know anything. I've never been on a stage. So I was like, all right, you're funny enough to be here, but now you have to learn how this works, the skill of it. So I never put any immediate pressure on myself. I was just like, just keep going down this road. Don't say no to anything. If something comes up, if one of the guys or one of the gals in your class goes, you want to come over and write sketches on Friday, go over and write sketches. They'll type, you talk. And I just was open to anything they wanted to do, but I didn't have any thoughts about being on in front of the camera or syndicated radio or anything.
Right. You just knew you had this kind of ability and you wanted to hone it.
Yeah, I felt like I had an ability. Like, you interview Chuck Liddell, and like Chuck Liddell's like, I like to fight. Right. I always fought.
Oh, yeah.
I fought when I was nine. I didn't know there was a thing called the UFC.
Right.
But I fought. I fought all the time. I fought for free. And then you go, but then there was the UFC, and he's like, yeah, now I get paid.
Right.
I got paid to do what I did. Yeah. So I was like, I fucked around on construction sites all day.
Right.
But then started dawning on me, but maybe you could get paid for this.
Right, right, right.
But
right,
I'm not exactly
right.
sure what this is.
Yeah, but then you enter this world of kind of ideas, and you learned a little bit. And there's a lot of people who've given these things a lot less thought than you have, who now enter the fray and don't want expertise telling them what to do. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, most people don't do, like, I've told 500 people, take an improv class. You'll be better at listening if you take an improv class. They don't do it. They just won't do it. Like, and I'm saying, like, look, I took 400 improv classes. It's not that big a deal. It's good. You'll enjoy it. It's like, they just don't do it. You tell them whatever you tell them to do, they don't really do it.
No. And that frustrates you to no end.
It drives me nuts, but I also think to myself, it is why you're struggling and I'm not struggling. I'm willing. When I left the Groundlings, when I took my first beginner Groundling class, they were like, you're funny, but you suck at acting, boy. You don't even know what you're doing. Yeah. You have no ability to act. And I was like, thank you. You're right. I have no idea. Why should I? And they're like, okay.
I'm going to act offended.
They just said, you may come back and take an intermediate class, but first, you go take an acting class.
Interesting.
And I said, where do I I don't know where to go. Like, to the Y? That's my default destination. I'm going to the Y. Classes. All right, I'm here to act. No, so they went, go to whatever academy on Ventura Boulevard, ask for so-and-so, give them another $300, and go take so-and-so's class. And I was like, okay. And I just went over to this place and like, where's so-and-so? And here's more money I don't have. And
that must have been scary, too, like being asked, because a lot of acting classes just feeling okay about being corny, right?
I felt very weird as a guy who just was kind of a jock in high school and then just went right onto a construction site and, you know, that world, that really blue-collar world, felt weird and vulnerable. They're like, I can't read very well, and they're handing out pages, you know, and I'm nervous reading. And, you know, here it is. Just go ahead. If you're not off script, just go ahead and read it. And I'm like, not in front of everybody?
Yeah.
Like, it felt weird, but I also realized that the Groundlings, like, when they were telling me you can't act, I didn't say you're not the boss of me.
Right, right, right.
And I didn't come back and go to my roommate, oh, yeah, I didn't get put into intermediate because Cynthia Seghetti doesn't like me.
Yes.
I didn't do that. I went, evidently I can't act because they've experienced me not acting because I walked in there and they didn't know who I was. But when they found out who I was, they found out I couldn't act.
Right.
So I was like, evidently I can't act.
And there's someone who can teach you.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, why should I know how to act?
Exactly.
I've never done it before. Yeah. So then I stumbled my way through like an acting class, and I was horrible at it.
And what point do you feel like you got good?
This should be an ACE Award nominee for best interview by a guest.
I know. Well, he's a journalist. I never felt like I got good. I just felt like I got my certificate of completion from the Acting Academy, and I took it back
to
the
Groundlings.
But you can act now. I mean, you
started
two movies.
Yeah, I can act, but I never thought, oh, I'm good. I just thought I can now do it well enough so that I can take intermediate at the Groundlings. And I also said, I'm sure it'll work out, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
And it worked out.
It worked out.
Yeah.
Here we are. All right. That's it for Jill Steiner.
Thank you for really
having
me.
What's the name of my book again?
Oh, my God. I am not good at the marketing part.
I want to know about elitism.
Oh, you're so kind.
I want to know. I want to know the definition of that and if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I think it's a necessary thing. Someone's going to be running things, and I'd rather have it be someone who knows the thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're in this guy, Vilfredo Pareto, in 1900.
That's not a real name.
It is. He was this Italian economist with this crazy beard. Mussolini loved this guy. He came up with the 80-20 rule, which is that
beef?
You always buy the 20% fat for the keto.
I thought it was how you tease before a break.
80% of the land will be owned by 20% of the people. 80% of your sales will come from 20% of your clients. Like, there's an 80-20 rule. He came up with that. But he also came up with the circulation of the elites. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that there are two groups of elites always at battle. In my book, I call them the intellectual elite and the boat elite, because Trump makes this crazy speech like a year ago after yelling about how awful the elites are forever. He's like, wait a second, says to this crowd in Minneapolis, we're the elite. Like, we have bigger apartments. We have boats. Like, we are the elites. And I thought, oh, yeah, there's two elites.
That's one definition. Yeah.
There's the intellectual elite and there's the boat elite. Mm-hmm. And people who own boats are the worst people in the world. I firmly believe.
My dad's a captain, but go ahead.
Oh, my God. But yeah. But
no, you know he's landlocked.
If they get 12 miles offshore, we let them do whatever they want, right?
Yeah.
That's how dangerous they are. They love puns.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, bad people. They buy a big expensive thing, and what's the first thing they do with it? They smash it with a bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
Oh, they're idiots. The worst.
What are the intellectual elite?
The intellectual elite care about ideas and are not necessarily rich. Like the people who go to Davos, some of them are academics, or they work in the government, or they work for NGOs, which is the intellectual elite term for charities, mm-hmm. and they don't necessarily make a lot of money. The boat elite care about money, and I think we're seeing this kind of fight going on right now between these two groups in most of the nations in the world right now, and the boat elite are fighting for nationalism. They're against trade. They're against globalism. They're against immigrants. They're just trying to shut things down and stop them. And I think that's what sends you into the Dark Ages or McCarthyism or, you know, destroys Cambodia or you know, China. Like these are the things that really cause a problem. And when we were growing up, I thought like if we ever had a bout of authoritarianism in our country, there was going to be a major economic disaster. Mm-hmm. I thought there'd be a natural disaster, a war. But this seems like things were going pretty well. And there was suddenly like this unforced error where people freaked out.
I had a conversation, speaking of elite, I sit around with my nanny and we eat dinner every night. Everyone else is scattered about.
This is the elite part of the story?
This is the elite part.
Do you like candles?
No, but it's
soft music.
I do put on the San Francisco Sounds on the Sirius
nice.
XM.
That's a nice one. Yeah. Yacht
hear a little Steely Dan just wafting through the house.
Oh, the two of you are reeling in the ears.
We sit there and she's like, you know, she's from Guatemala and she's old school.
Sure.
You know, you work, you learn to work, you cook, you clean, you stay busy, you know, she tell these stories like I was a single mom, I have a daughter, and everyone came to me, you know, the other nannies were like, oh, you can get her on the lunch program and you can get her on the breakfast. And she's like, I don't want that. I feed my own daughter. She's my responsibility. I don't want someone else feeding her. And I'm like, I love this old school vibe. And I was basically the elite guy sitting there explaining that no one is doing anything physical or with their hands anymore. They're not up on their feet. They don't have to. Our economy doesn't have that. And that all the people that are kind of losing it are the people that aren't out doing things. Like I said, if you work at a logging camp and you're unrealistic, you're fucking dead. And if you're building a trestle bridge and you just have good vibes or, hey, this is the way I put steel together, you're dead. You die. Like when you work construction and you're putting an I-beam up or a girder up or something, there's a way to do it. And then there's a way where you get crushed. There's not, hey, I know in my heart this is the way to do it. And so your relationship with reality is an ongoing daily exercise when you work in a logging camp, and thus your ideas don't get that far off the center line. Everyone's sitting around in their air-conditioned cubicle and not physically touching anything or working, solving problems. You know, like we all had the experience where you get in your car in the morning, you turn the key, and it goes, and now it's time for you to engage your brain, like get up, pop the hood, see if it's the battery. And then there are things like you start learning, like I put the headlights on, I'll turn the key. Do they get dimmer? If they're dimmer, the battery's bad, but maybe it's the alternator where we can bump start, whatever.
In my situation, it's just like, where on the card is the number for AAA? Is it the back? Is it the front? There's a couple numbers here.
So I feel like when people were really out there surviving, and they had to put enough food away, otherwise they wouldn't survive the winter.
That's right.
And blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
It kept us grounded. Well, we didn't have pie in the sky, bizarre thoughts.
There was a big populist movement before the Depression, and then and there were a lot of idiots in Washington around then, like you could afford to. And then when the Depression hit, the experts all came in. Like all the economists.
Interesting.
Like you don't mess around then. Like when things get serious.
There's just a way, a kind of a nuts and bolts way to raise kids that all the experts in the world don't know jack shit about. It's like just you get your cookie after you finish your stew. That's how it works. Like that, there's just rules. And they're more nature than they are any expert. Could dream up or write a book about. And then they're often, as we talk about with Vinny and the diet, the experts are always way off with the margin and the snack wells.
So I do have a problem with that because I think I call it the meteorologist fallacy in my book. Mm-hmm. Whenever the meteorologist says it's going to rain and it doesn't rain, you're like, oh, weathermen, they're idiots. Like you can never listen to them. That's why they call themselves things like Dallas Rains and like
Johnny Mountain.
Yeah, right. Johnny Mountain. And wear big crazy suits to distract you from their idiocy.
Right.
But they're giving you percentage numbers. Like the weather report is much better now than it was years ago. And experts, just because an expert was wrong, the counterfactual isn't that like an idiot was right.
No,
they're not always going to be right. They're going to get the Iraq war wrong. They're going to get, they're going to build mortgage securities that fall apart. But it's better to have them than the other people. Like the fact that Bernie wants to put like a farmer on the Fed board just scares me.
Well, the thing about the experts is it kind of depends because – and I'm definitely not saying – I was at the dentist today. That guy's an expert.
No,
I don't tell him what to do.
Snack wells were a good idea. Like the science improved. Like Atkins came along and then
– But here's the problem. Here's the only problem with that. There are experts and Mark Gergis will tell you when you're going to trial – you get experts, but those experts are there to tell your story.
Well, yeah.
Right.
But
here's what I'm saying. Yeah. Homeless experts were talking about the reason we had homelessness in Los Angeles 6 months ago, and they're way the fuck off because they're not homeless experts. They're advocates for the fucking mayor.
No. But
that's the difference.
I've been in those meetings that the mayor's having, those CENTCOM meetings for this book. So the mayor let me spend a day as the mayor of LA for this book because I wanted to see what would happen.
It's like make a wish.
That was the one great day back in 2017. You guys
remember that day? Yeah. Traffic was a little lighter.
Felt right.
Yeah. Gas was a little cheaper. It was awesome.
I wanted to see what would happen in a Trumpian way if you took someone with no knowledge or expertise and put them in charge. Like, I wanted to see if the decisions I would made would be different than the ones he would.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing I learned was that the mayor doesn't sit around and make decisions all day. Like, being mayor is having this, like, world of knowledge and connections and bringing people together and bringing information together. And there was very little decision making. But I sat at a CENTCOM meeting for the homeless, and they were studying. It was like it was the weirdest room because it was packed with like the fire chief and the police chief and the sanitation chief. And they were all had their little placards and their outfits. And then there was like a Lego thing or a little diorama of each thing, like the fire department. And it looked like where you talk about how to deal with the superhero in town who's gone nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just charts and graphs and like it looked so fake. But they were studying these two populations, the downtown homeless population and the Hollywood homeless population. And they were radically different communities. Like one was older, long-term homeless, a lot of opioids. The other was mostly people who had come here from out of town, younger, gay, meth, different drugs. I forgot already.
Right.
And their communities were different, and their willingness to go to different kind of shelters were different. And it would be so complicated to try and give these people anything or get them to do anything. It was very, very complicated.
I'm not saying it's not complex. What I'm saying is when they came out with a study 6 months ago and there were like 75% of the people aren't on drugs or addicted to drugs or aren't mentally impaired, I was like, okay, you're full of shit, expert. And then they come out with one 2 weeks ago and it's 84% are having mental difficulties and are high on drugs. So I'm just saying experts – or I like experts in the orthodontia department, but the homeless experts, I tend to think that they're like the experts Gergis hires to come into the courtroom.
Well, but there's so many people with so many different attitudes towards homelessness that I think that they're not all necessarily advocates in the same way.
I'm saying I love an expert, but yeah. I don't like an expert that has just declared they're experts in a sort of problem that's difficult.
Yeah.
For, you really almost can't be an expert in homelessness.
Yeah. Well, there are. There are people who really study this, and there are people with different kind of solutions, and they're trying them all out. But yeah, I think there are people who know a lot about these.
Well, then they lie when they're asked to give their advice.
I think that L.A. thing you're citing, that was like propaganda. Wouldn't the city put that out like as a reason to increase funding for this one? I remember it was very specious, like
I've read a few things about homeless experts cite lack of affordable housing and high cost of living as the primary reasons for homelessness, which it's not. It's absolutely not.
It really depends who you define as homeless, right? Because there are people who are homeless for very short periods of time and are living in
car. Whatever's created the problem that we now have today.
Part of it is
housing. Yeah. Most of it's drugs and insanity.
Yeah.
But okay. Cite that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I know you love the mayor, but that guy's a fucking hack.
Oh, do you hate the mayor?
I fucking live in a city. Of course I hate the mayor. I have to live in a place that he presides over. I sit in traffic and stare at homeless people all day. Of course, he's horrible.
But
Joel flies in from New York, stays in the peninsula. This place is great.
I live in the city that he presides over. Of course I hate him.
I'm a city slicker.
I've lived here for 13 years.
He's horrible.
Did you hate the mayor before him?
Villaraigosa,
do you have thoughts? Yeah. Does you have thoughts on Villaraigosa?
He's just dumb. He was so dumb. He's a dumb guy.
Oh, my God.
He's a super dumb guy.
I met him a couple times. The dumbest
guy in the world's in charge of the seventh largest economy.
It was weird, wasn't it?
And he's a liar.
I met him a couple times, and I literally wanted to hide my daughter from him, even though I don't have a daughter.
Really?
Just like, oh, I've got to wash
preemptive these
hands.
Daughter hiding.
Yes. Wow. Oh, he really creeped me out.
Yeah, he struck me as exquisitely dumb.
Yes, dumb and kind of creepy and oily.
Yeah, but good news. He's lazy. So.
Remember when he's being floated as a nominee for president?
It's mind-numbing.
Yeah.
We should thank our lucky stars.
We should. Yeah, no, Villaraigosa. Well, first off, his name's Tony Villar.
I know.
His name is Tony Villar, but he changed it to Villaraigosa because he's trying to get other dumb people to vote for him based on his nationality. This is why all this identity politics is fucking nuts. We got a guy named Tony Villar, who's the dumbest guy in Los Angeles, but he gets to run Los Angeles for 8 years.
You will enjoy the part of the book about identity politics, because one thing identity politics does is it says that we can't have an argument about ideas because you can't understand my ideas because you're not in my group,
right?
Which leads to tribalism, which leads right back to nationalism.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that scares me as much on the left as some of this, or almost as much as some of the far right stuff that's going on.
I completely agree. I feel like this sort of like you can't weigh in on this community is my dentist is black. I don't care. He's allowed to work on my mouth. He didn't grow up how I grew up. That's fine. He's black. He has an expertise in dentistry. He may weigh in.
Yeah.
Weighed in earlier.
Would you ever write a book called My Dentist is Black?
Definitely a chapter, right?
Well, when I'm accused of being a racist, I go, I have many. Guess not.
I
have a black dentist. I was like, I know David Allen. Shit. My dentist is black. All right, let me hit Geico and then we'll do the news. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, I don't know, get a crown on a molar or get your teeth cleaned or something like that. Take the extra money, put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, quick break. Back with Joel and the news.
Corolla Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole this Saturday, featuring Everride. Mangria slushies, guacamole cheesesteaks, endless rant lager and IPA. Plus, guacamole from the current world champion, made with avocados from Alan Parsons Organic Farm. Plus, live music from the Smokin' Kills. This event is free, but you must RSVP. The World Championship of Guacamole. A portion of the proceeds benefit Stupid Cancer. Please visit stupidcancer.org. There'll be prizes, raffles, and Loxy.
Enter the guac competition for a $35 fee and get a World Championship of Guacamole t-shirt. Winner takes home the World Championship belt and bragging rights for a year. RSVP now at adamcarolla.com. Sound reinforcement thanks to JBL. Visit JBL.com. Production and backline support courtesy of Champion Sight and Sound. Visit champion.biz. The World Championship of Guacamole featuring Everride. The World Championship of Guacamole this Saturday. Get your free tickets now at adamcarolla.com.